Good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning to remember the Lord Jesus with you. And I was so looking forward to hearing from Brother Louis this morning. We pray Brother Louis's all right, and we trust he's in the Lord's hands this morning. And Louis and I have quite a bit in common. We both come from the more eastern part of the country, him in Quebec and me in New Brunswick. And I don't have that French tongue that Louis does, and I don't quite have the flamboyance that Louis does, but I'll try and do an adequate job to fill such great shoes as Louis Voyer. He's a dear brother of mine, and we've had some good fellowship together, and the first time I heard Louis speak was here at Listowel while visiting. And Don and Cindy had given us a heads up that Louis would be here, so we were quite looking forward to it. If you turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. A short chapter, and we'll read it in its entirety. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as we know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Trust the Lord will bless the reading of his holy word. Water's good, Paul. Thanks. The chapter in 1 Thessalonians has been a precious book to me. Over holidays this past week, the Lord stirred me to read this book through each day, and I'm blessed to be able to use a portion of it here this morning. And just a word of exhortation to some of the young men here this morning: read the word, and read it, and read it, and read it. Just allow yourself to be immersed in the Word of God. And one of the good principles of Bible study that I was blessed to learn from co-elder up in Cobden's, Doug Pilgrim, and he taught us, read the Word repetitiously a lot, and you'll be surprised how much you get from it. It's just such a blessing to read it through, and then you read it again, and you pick something new up, and then you pick something new up. And before you know it, the book is becoming a part of you. You can identify with so much in the book all of a sudden. So read the word repetitiously. You'll be blessed by it. So Paul is encouraged by the church of the Thessalonians. And he's encouraging them, and he's blessing them, and he's speaking well of them. And for a good reason. He says in verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." You know, there's those people in your prayer life, isn't there, that you can't help but thank the Lord for each and every day. There's people that God has brought to your life. There's people that are precious to you. There's people that have done things for you in the Lord that you constantly are finding yourself giving thanks to the Lord for them. And the believers in Thessalonica that Paul was blessed with, and he was encouraged by them, and it says, "We can't help but always give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing." There's three things we want to look at here this morning. Three things that Paul brings out. remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Speaks about their work of faith. You know, that work of faith begins when somebody first hears the Word of God. Somebody's first pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody hears the gospel call, and the guilt comes upon them for their sin. And they see in sight, in light rather, of God's holiness. And they see in view of His righteousness, their own sin. And a work of faith begins. And when that sinner comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work at the cross, then that work of faith has begun. And He will perform it unto the end. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit, has taken root, the earnest of their inheritance, indwelling the believer, and a work of faith has begun. The work of faith is so often begins with the Word of God, hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen to what it said in verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you. Look over, if you will, in chapter 2. Chapter 2, the same book, in verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Folks, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, even the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. That verse I stand on so surely as I stand before you today, as that word had a work in my soul, in my heart. I can attest to the Word of God and the necessity of it and how it should come in power in each and every one, as my salvation came by seeing and hearing the Word of God. I was a long-distance truck driver traveling the highways and byways in North America. And my wife got saved before me, and as she had grew up in a church all her life and was convicted, she'd never read her Bible. And so she picked up the Word of God and began reading in Genesis and read through, and she read John, and she realized she was a sinner, condemned to death, condemned to hell. And she was so convinced that she needed the Savior, she gave her life to Christ. She got saved. What a beautiful thing it was to her, but not to me. Not to me. Guess what happened next after she got saved? I became the mission field. I didn't like it at all. And she was quite blunt and bold about it also, as you know, her sister Cindy also. And boy, every time I came home off the truck, I got it full throttle, all the gears. And she wanted me naturally to have the joy and the bliss that she had found in Christ. And I wanted no part of it. I was a wicked, evil, sinful man. And I said, you keep it at church on Sunday. I want nothing to do with it. It's yours, but not mine. And so we continued for a while. And as I was out on the road in the truck, I would stop to get some food for the fridge in the truck. And I would see a young couple with a little boy. And our son, Justin, who's going to be 18 soon, he was about 2 at the time. And I thought, boy, I should be home with my wife and my son. I should be home as a dad with them. And being the husband and father I ought to be. So the Lord started softening my heart there. And then as I came home, something had changed after a time. My wife stopped preaching to me. And she started giving me this unconditional love that I knew I didn't deserve. I knew I was a jerk. I knew I was a rotten, miserable man, a husband and father. And I didn't deserve that love. And I knew it was something divine. And it began to soften my heart. And the third thing, and this is what tipped the scales and brought me to the end of myself, was as I was driving my truck all over, especially the United States, and I found it ironic how the gospel mission text was brought up this morning. And that those texts had such an effect on my life. As I quoted Hebrews 4:12, I know the Word of God is quick and powerful because that's what spoke to me. You know, Paul said to the believers in Thessalonica that, you know, you didn't receive the Word as it was words of men. You know, you pick up a book on the shelf and you can read it and you put it down. It has no eternal effect on your soul. But you pick up the Word of God, the living, holy Word of God. Now there is a book that has stood the test of time, that liveth and abideth forever, that is settled in heaven, that is quick and powerful. The Word of God, folks, you can never go wrong with the Word of God. It's living, it's God-breathed, it's God's message to mankind. It's God's message and testimony of His Son, Jesus Christ. And how we are privileged recipients to be able to hold a copy of the Word of God that points us to Christ, that tells us of our sin and the judgment to come, that tells us of a hope that is for mankind in this earth. Whereas outside of Christ, there is no hope. So as I drove my truck down the road, and God's Word was brought to my attention through gospel texts all over the highways. And I remember one particularly, as I would travel down I-75 toward Florida, there was an electronic signboard that stood out close to the interstate. The church was set way back. I knew not what the sign belonged to. But they had a verse that came out electronically, and that would have flashed three times. And it was a convicting verse. It was always a convicting verse. I couldn't get around it. For the wages of sin is death. Prepare to meet thy God. And I eventually put the blinders up. Literally would put my hand up as I drove down the interstate. I did not want to see. I didn't want to be tempted to look again. The Word of God was having an effect on me. And it didn't matter where I went, where I drove. The Word of God would pop up on the sides of the road. I'd driven by these signs many a time. And I'd never seen them before. But God's Spirit was showing me His Word. Praise be unto God. And it was very, very convicting. As one who knew he was a sinner, knew that his destiny was likely hell. But I was still enjoying my sin too much, and I didn't want to let go of it. I wanted to do things my way. Well, there was a dark, rainy night in the spring of 1997. And I remember clearly the conviction that came over my soul. I was fiddling with the radio station, trying to pick up another station. I might have heard a preacher or something. I'm not quite sure what it was. But all that was coming into me over the months, and I found out after all the people that were praying for me, including my wife and a friend of hers, on their knees daily for me, I had saw my sin in light of God's holiness. And that brought me to the end of myself. But I feared, you know how some people seem are so close to getting saved. They're so close. They're just on the precipice. And the enemy comes along and whispers in their ear, "Nah, you don't need that. Forget about it. That's not necessary. That's lies." And the enemy will try to turn people away from Christ. And that happened to me. And I thought, my sin, it's horrible. I hate myself. I will drive my truck right into a bridge and I'll just end it. That's how much I hated myself at that moment. But I thought, no, death, that's cowardly. I will drive my truck down to the Texas-Mexico border and walk across the Rio Grande and disappear and start a new life. Because the old me, I hate me so much, I want nothing to do with it. Silly, irrational things that will go through your mind that perhaps the enemy could whisper there. But thanks be unto God, there was the outstretched arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was calling me. I could just almost see Him calling me. "Come unto me, ye who are weak and heavy laden. Take my burden. My burden is light." I'm thankful I made the choice. I didn't have any big theological prayer. I didn't really know what to say. I just yelled out from my heart, Lord, I can't live my life anymore. I need you to live it for me. And at that moment, I'd realized something had changed. Something had happened. There was a release of the burden and the weight and the conviction of my sin that was nagging me for so long. I couldn't quite put my finger on exactly what had happened. I didn't have somebody preaching a clear gospel message, but nonetheless, the Word of God had taken an effect in my life. And when I got home, I no longer shunned the Word of God, but I picked it up and I started turning through it. And I realized, oh, that verse, I can identify with that. This verse, this speaks to me. That happened to me. And so on. And thus, I've been saved since 1997, and I still haven't gotten over it, thanks be unto God. I love being saved. Amen? Amen? It's such a blessing to be part of the family of God. And here in our text this morning, these believers in Thessalonica, they took heart to the Word of God. The Word of God had gotten a hold of them, and they went out into Macedonia and Achaia and all around the area. And their work of faith had led to a labor of love. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a labor of love? Is there something that you're doing? You don't have to go out preaching the Word. Is there something you're doing, though, for the Lord that you just love doing? There's no hindrance in it at all. There's no grievousness in it. Is there something you're doing for the Lord? Because I believe as we're given, each believer is given a spiritual gift from God by the Holy Spirit. Each one of us can find a use for the Lord in ourselves, that we can be used for God. We can have a labor of love that's not grievous, that's not difficult to do, that we find joy in serving the Lord in this manner. So I ask you this morning, do you have a labor of love? And if not, search your heart. Ask the Lord. He will show you. He will direct you. But these believers in Macedonia, in Thessalonica rather, they had a labor of love. And one of them was going out and preaching the gospel. They were fervent in preaching the gospel. And I know some of these thoughts were brought out this morning in the Lord's Supper. But I just marvel at this point that was brought up, that Paul says in verse 8, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. They had preached the gospel so thoroughly and completely. And the people around the area had heard the word that Paul didn't need to even say anything. He knew that it went out well. And it went out thoroughly and completely. You know, we can never be finished preaching the gospel, though, can we? As long as there's a day of grace. A brother brought out so beautifully this morning, the grace of God. And as recipients of that grace, we have a time right now where the harvest is white, where the mission field is ripe, where we have an opportunity in this land to go forth and preach the gospel. But why don't we so much? Why are we so complacent? Why is it that it seems that we can become so laxed? I'm speaking to myself here. Sorry about that. I'm speaking to myself here. That so much of an opportunity is waiting for us. But it's just to take that one step. That one step outside of our comfort zone and ask, Lord, how can you use me today? Lord, would you have me to speak to somebody today? Because, you know, it's not out in the street that we're all asked to go and preach. It's the person we rub shoulders with every day at the workplace. It's the neighbor down the road that's lived beside us for 10 years and we've never said a thing to them about Christ. It's about a loved one, a relative who we know is perishing, who's headed to a lost eternity. And yet, we've been too bashful to say something to them about Christ. Folks, we all can have a labor of love. We can all tell the lost about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's such a wonderful message to tell the lost. I've always thought that this is the best kept secret in North America, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was recently at a Bible study with my son down in Pennsylvania last week and had a real wonderful time in the Word with Brother Keith Kaiser, some of you might know, and Craig Shikharji. And one of the topics we took up was church history. And looking at some of the missionaries of old, and looking at some of the people who had planted churches, and some of the early church fathers who had done such a work for Christ, who allowed themselves to be used of Christ. And they would not take any glory for themselves, for the most part. They would give all glory to God as we ought. They would stand behind the cross. And these men were zealous for the Lord. I think of one particular, and his saying continues to resonate in my mind, was John Knox. And he would say to the Lord, "Give me Scotland, Lord, or I die." You know, he was so out for Christ. There was nothing to hinder him. He wanted to give the gospel of Scotland, if that was the last thing he did in this world. How often we're so concerned with the trivial things of this world, the temporal things of this world, and not giving ourselves more to the things that are eternal. We have a soul, folks, that's priceless. So priceless, we can't put a value on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, I know myself from day to day, I do not give enough attention to things that are eternal. The saints in Thessalonica did. They had a labor of love. They also had something else. And this is very unique to the believer. They had patience of hope. They had patience of hope. Notice their hope was founded and grounded in something, rather someone. Says in our text, in our Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? What a blessed hope. Now this is a hope that the world has nothing on. They can't make less of it. They can't take it away from us. They can't ruin it. It will not falter. It is a sure hope, a steadfast hope, because it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, who liveth forevermore, who is alive, whom we serve, whom we bless, whom we thank, whom we remember. What a precious remembrance it was this morning to have that pinnacle moment of our day, of our week, remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death and His suffering, His broken body, His shed blood, that He's risen from the dead. And because He is risen, that so solidifies our hope in our Savior. We think of many other followers of different people in this world that they don't have a hope. Many other religions that are out there, there's no hope for them. A lot of them serve a master who's not alive. They're idols. They have no eternal testimony. We serve one who is Christ the Lord. There's two parts of this patience of hope. We read in the end of the chapter, part of their patience of hope is brought out in verse 10. It says, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Turn over with me to chapter 4. There's two parts to this patience of hope. One is positive for the believer. I guess you could say they're both positive for the believer, but there's a negative also for the one. We look at the one whom we most rejoice in, and that is in chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Brethren, beloved, isn't it good to know that the Lord is going to come for his own? Isn't it a blessed hope to know that Jesus Christ is not going to leave us here in this earth? You know, there's some out there that think that this earth is the all and be all place to be. It's not. It's all going to burn up. It's all going to be history. But we need not fear. We have a blessed hope in the Lord because he is going to come for us all who believe in the Lord, who are in Christ. And there's other blessings that come with that. We know many who have gone on to be with the Lord, whom we have a hope to see them again. Whereas other religions don't have that. As far as they're concerned, that's it. That's the end. But we have a privilege to see those who have gone on to be with the Lord, that we will see them again one day and rejoice with them in glory, in glorified bodies, where there will be no more sin, no more sadness, no more crying, but myriads of believers praising and worshiping the Lamb who is worthy. It says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's comforting to know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming for us all who have believed in the Lord. He's coming for his own. Are you in the Lord Jesus Christ? If there's somebody here this morning who's yet lost, you need to turn to Christ now. You need to turn while today is the day of salvation. You need to consider your eternal soul and where you stand before the Lord. Today is a day of grace. Today, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. The one thing that we have guaranteed in this life is today. One day at a time. One day at a time, you've heard it said often. And that's all we can say that we have, isn't it? We know not what tomorrow will bring. We boast not in tomorrow or what we will do. We have today. So I plead with you. If somebody here in this meeting this morning has not come to the end of themselves, has not repented of their sin and turned in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we plead with you today. Let today be the day of salvation for you. Let today be the day that you would turn from death unto life, from light from darkness unto light. Let today be the day of salvation for you. The Lord is waiting. He's waiting with outstretched arms for any poor lost sinner. He will not turn any away who would come unto him. Now, there's another part that I thought we had mentioned, and I implore any who are lost to come to Christ because there's judgment that is coming. You know, thanks be unto God that God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, in chapter 5, verse 9. But God has appointed a day that every man shall die, and after this the judgment. It says in chapter 5 and verse 1, But of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. There's that threefold again. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Thanks be unto God that He's not appointed us to wrath. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But unfortunately, not all will. Unfortunately, there's masses and masses of people out there today who are perishing. They're headed to a lost eternity. And it's a shame. It's not the will of God. It's not what He wanted. He gave His very best, the Lord Jesus Christ, His only beloved Son. He gave His very best for you and I, and for all sinners, that we could have a work of faith, that we could have a labor of love, and that we could have patience of hope. Thanks be unto God for the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is worthy. Let's pray. Our God and Father, where would we be without Thy Son? We would be destitute of any hope. We would be helpless. Thank You, O God, as sinners of the Gentiles, that we have such a blessed hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. How we love to sing that name. How we love to say that name. There is no greater name. We thank Thee, O Lord, that You have made a way of salvation for every lost sinner. We thank Thee, O God, that You have given us Thy Holy Spirit, that we might live for righteousness, that we might desire holiness, that we might learn more of Thee and of Thy Son through Thy Holy Word. Help us to reverence Thee. Help us to serve Thee. Help us to be faithful followers of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. O God and Father, we ask Thy blessing upon each one gathered here this morning. We pray that You would go with each one and minister by Thy Holy Spirit. We thank Thee in the name that is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.